I would like to read a few verses more from the book of Judges, chapter 13, just a short passage. Judges, chapter 13, from verse 15. And Manoah, the father of Samson, said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee, until we shall have made a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou this after my name, seeing it is secret? Or as the margin has it, wonderful. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. Now, after Moses and Joshua, there was a period in Israel's history which is generally known as the period of the judges. There's a whole book devoted to this period from which we've just read. Now, judge, the actual word, means one who determines matters. But in this connection, the way it is used in the book of Judges, it doesn't strictly mean that, but it means one who acts as a leader, thereby determining matters, or one who acts as a deliverer, thereby determining matters. And these judges, and there are 12 main judges in the book of Judges, they were raised up for a particular time and for a particular reason. Six of them were major judges, and then there were also minor judges. Now, just to put the period in your mind, we believe the Exodus from Egypt took place in 1446 BC. And the time of the judges is usually reckoned from shortly after that, from 1390 through to 1050 BC. And this period of the judges came to an end with Saul, who has sometimes been called the last of the judges and the first of the kings. Now, the reason why God raised up these men was that Israel after those two great leaders, Moses and Joshua, oftentimes fell into grievous sin. And God raised up foreign nations as a means of punishment to them. When they were oppressed by these foreigners, the people realized their faults and they turned to God and craved his mercy. And in answer to that, God raised up men like Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, the only woman amongst them, and Gideon. Now, at the particular time of Judges 13, there was an assault of the Philistines upon Israel. Again, the reason was that Israel had sinned, and it departed from God and from his law, and God stirred up the nation of the Philistines, and there was an oppression of the Philistines which actually lasted for 40 years. The people cried unto God, and the Lord showed his mercy again and began to move. And we read in this chapter that one who is called the angel of the Lord came to a particular place, Zora, mentioned in verse 2, a town within the tribal territory of Dan. And this heavenly visitor first spoke to Manoah's wife, who was barren, and he told her that she would have a son. Afterward, he returned, and the same visitor spoke to Manoah and confirmed to him that he and his wife would be blessed with a son. It was just after this that Noah offered hospitality. And we read of that in the 13th chapter of Judges and verse 15. Let us detain thee until we shall have made a kid for thee. But this heavenly one declined that offer. I will not eat of thy bread. In verse 16. But he advised Manoah to offer a burnt offering. That was a hint that there was more here than Manoah realized. And the visitor was more than a mere angel. Curious, Manoah asked the visitor his name, verse 17. And the reply was, in verse 18, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret, incomprehensible. Wonderful. A truly amazing name. Well, Manoah was still perplexed. He still didn't know who this person was. But on further instruction, he offered a burnt offering upon a rock. And it is said then, when that was done, that the visitor mentioned in verse 19 did wondrously. And then in verse 20 it is said that the flame arose to heaven from the altar of that rock. And then something quite miraculous took place. The visitor ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces to the ground. This was no man. And Noah now came to the understanding that this was no angel. Manoah said in verse 22 unto his wife, "We shall surely die, because we have seen God." Now the whole event is remarkable. And it's one of those events in the Old Testament which are prophetic. An event which foreshadows the work of Jesus Christ. So I want to look at three things tonight from this passage. The first is Jesus Christ. Now it is true that the one who appeared to Manoah's wife and then to Manoah is referred to as the angel of the Lord. But we're not to think here that that was the nature of the visitor. Because the word angel literally means one sent. And one sent usually with a message. This evidently was no angel, which Manoah and his wife both came to realize. The second thing I want to notice is this, that this one had the nature of God. He is described there in verse 22 as God. Burnt offering is made to him. The worship that belongs to God. The third thing to notice is this, that although identified by this couple as God, yet there are places here where he is also described as man. Look at verse 6. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came unto me." Verse 8. And Manoah entreated the Lord and said, "O my Lord, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come again unto us." Verse 11. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man. So although this one was God, and is confessed to be such, he appeared as a man. If you go back to the book of Genesis, and chapter 48, and verses 15, and 16, you'll read something quite remarkable. It's Jacob's blessing of Joseph. Genesis 48:15, and he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. God is mentioned twice, perhaps reference to the Father and the Spirit. And the third person, the angel which redeems. Are we nearer to understanding who this was? Someone sent with the nature of God, with the appearance of man, and someone Scripture identifies as the Redeemer. Surely this is the Son of God in a pre-incarnate form, appearing even in the Old Testament. It may not surprise you to know that there are places in the Scripture where he is so described. In the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, the coming of Christ is predicted. First of all, a reference to John the Baptist, who will precede the coming of Christ. These are the words. Behold, I will send my messenger, that's the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. That word is the angel of the covenant. Not with the nature of an angel, but with the office of an angel to bring God's word to the people. In the New Testament, you see, there are numerous passages where Christ is referred to as the one sent. That's the meaning of the word angel in the Old Testament, one sent. As the Father hath sent me. And he is the one who brings the words of God, the message of God. Hence he's called himself the Word. And he makes known, as he says in John's Gospel, the words of the Father. All that the Father hath spoken to me, I speak, he says. It is Christ, surely. Now we can understand why, when Manoah, in his partial ignorance and illumination, says in verse 15, let us make ready a kid for thee, this one refused the kid. Because it clearly indicated Manoah didn't really appreciate who he was. And he said to him, rather, offer a burnt offering. Verse 16. Don't you realize that I am God? I need not a token from your table. I deserve an offering in worship. And so it was that Manoah offered to one who's described in verse 16 as the Lord. Well, you know what happened then? The flame took hold of the burnt offering. And as the flame ascended to heaven, this one ascended in the flame. And the response of Manoah and his wife in verse 20, they fell on their faces to the ground. They knew that they'd been in the presence of deity. Verse 22, we have seen God, said Manoah. not a man as you first thought, not an angel as I thought, but God. Let me go back, before I leave this point, to his name. Just before the offering in verse 18 or verse 17, Manoah says, "What is thy name?" And the visitor says, verse 18, "Why askest thou after my name, seeing it is secret?" We think of the words of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. "No man knoweth the Son, save the Father, and he to whom the Father will reveal him." But then we look at the marginal reading, "My name is wonderful." And we recall Isaiah 9:6, prophesying of Christ, "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He is wonderful, inspiring wonder in his person. As the God-man, he is wonderful. In his birth, it was wonderful. A virgin conceiving and bringing forth a son. In his mission, to save sinners, it was wonderful. In his accomplishment, securing mercy and pardon, wonderful. In the fullness of his blessing, wonderful. In his matchlessness and excellence, none like him, chief among 10,000. Wonderful. Now exalted on high, worshipped by angels and redeemed spirits. Wonderful. Living forever. Wonderful. So here you have an Old Testament view of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now secondly, his finished work. We read that in verse 19, Manoah took a kid and a meat offering with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. The rock became a kind of altar. In fullness of time, Christ offered himself upon the rock of his own divinity. And upon that rock, a sacrifice was offered here. He offered the burnt offering, the meat offering, upon the rock. And through Christ's deity, he offered a sacrifice for the sins of men, which was his human nature, upon the rock of his divine nature. Just as this rock could not suffer, be adversely affected by the heat and the flame, so the divinity of Christ could not be impaired or diminished by what happened at Calvary. And yet his human nature, the man Christ Jesus, suffered for his people and died for them. It seems from this passage, and certainly from Judges 6, where something very similar happens, that the fire was created by the visitor. And if that is so, it reveals more of his nature, but it shows that the visitor was willing for this to take place, willing for the offering to be made, And when we come to the reality in the New Testament, when upon the rock of his divinity, Christ Jesus offered himself without spot to God as a sacrifice for us, it was willing, it was voluntary. He laid down his life. The particular offering here was a burnt offering. The distinguishing feature of the burnt offering was that it was wholly devoted and then consumed by the fire. Christ gave everything to be our Saviour. And upon him fell the fire of divine wrath, which brought about his death. The burnt offering gave forth a sweet savour. And there's something sweet and wonderful about the death of Christ. In his love, he died for us. He died to satisfy justice. He died to make amends for our sins. Now, going back to Judges 13, after the offering had taken place, we read that the one called the angel of the Lord ascended. Typically, death has taken place, but he lives. And out of the fire he seems to come. Just as out of the fire of Calvary Christ emerged, victorious, conqueror. And what happened to him? He ascended. The flame went to heaven to reach God. And so did the angel of the Lord ascend. So Christ ascended after his resurrection and returned unto heaven. Cause for great thankfulness. Cause for appreciative worship. And then we read verse 21, but the angel of the Lord did no more appear. Why was that? Because the sacrifice was complete. There was no need to repeat it. And then the Son of God's experience, what he did at Calvary, was sufficient. He needs never to return to repeat it. He died unto sin once and liveth unto the power of God. Now, it was believed in the Old Testament that if you saw God, you would die because you were a sinner. And Manoah initially thought that, what he'd seen there on the rock. We have seen God, he said. We shall surely die. But his wife said to him, God has received a burnt offering and a meat offering. The Lord is not pleased to kill us. So she perceives that they will be saved from death through the offering. As believing sinners are saved from perishing through the death of Christ. There's one little thing before I conclude here. It says in verse 19, there on the rock, the angel did wondrously. It was the angel, or the person called the angel, actually the Son of God, that did it. He was the doer. And in the work of salvation, he is the doer. He's the one who came into the world. He's the one who put himself under the law. He's the one who suffered fearfully under the fire of God's wrath to take our place, to set us free. He's the doer. And in salvation, we don't do anything. He's the doer. And so unique and amazing is his work. The scripture says of him, he doeth all things well. Here, he did wondrously. He bore the guilt of sin. He took the punishment of sin. He exhausted the wrath of God upon sinners. He did wondrously well. Jesus Christ, his finished work. And then finally, the response of faith. Verse 19, the angel, Jesus Christ, did wondrously his finished work. And Manoah and his wife looked on. The response of faith. They couldn't save themselves. All they could do was to look upon this one who in a figure was dying in their place, offering a sacrifice on their behalf that they might be saved. And the Bible says, look unto him and be ye saved. Behold the Lamb of God. What does that mean? Don't look at yourselves in the hope that you'll be able to save yourselves. Do enough works to be forgiven. Do enough works to earn a place in heaven. Look not to yourselves, but look on. Look to Jesus Christ. Look with the look of utter dependence upon Christ. Look with the look of hope and expectancy from Jesus Christ, the only Savior of men. That is the response of faith. And the result is that these two were spared. And if we look to Jesus Christ in trust and hope, to him as our own Savior, we shall be spared. For whoever believes on him shall not be saved, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Look. You want to find forgiveness and salvation? Look. Where do I look, you say? Look unto Jesus Christ, I answer. He's the only Savior of sinners. He who came from heaven. He who did wondrously in dying. And who will save the believing soul for eternity.